Good morning.
Good morning.
To be following such powerful people, it's pretty cool, pretty cool. Good to see you all.
Good to see you.
As I was preparing this talk, a song kept popping in my head, and it's from Sonny and Cher, "The Beat Goes On." And the beat goes on. And I was, for me, it sort of summarizes all that's been going on lately. You know, it just, every day you get up and there's something new. You know, it's like, and the beat goes on. And it's, there are so many changes. I don't really have time to kind of process what all that's happening and what that might mean, because then there's another change that's come along. So this beat goes on, this constant change, things are happening. For me, it's kind of stressful. It's kind of frustrating. It's confusing. And I feel sometimes, not always, you know, I've been talking about this for several months now, how we can not feel this way, but it keeps repeating. So I sometimes feel overwhelmed and vulnerable. You know, they're talking about my Social Security. I am a firm believer in the separation of church and state. Absolutely. I do not. I mean, if I do my job correctly, you don't know what my leanings are. That's my goal. But I will say that everything that's happening, it's not a partisan thing. I mean, I saw a gentleman on Meet the Press one Sunday, I was just getting ready to leave, and he said something to the effect of, everybody in the country is uncomfortable right now. And I believe that's true, to a large degree. Unity has long considered itself to be practical Christianity. You know, and I think that's what I'm aiming to do, is to kind of take stock of within myself and notice I'm getting more calls from people. I'm really having a hard time. I'm really stressed out. Can you pray with me? Of course I can. You know, so there's lots going on, and I'm looking for ways to make the teachings of Jesus and unity principles help us in these uncertain days. I mean, they're just, it's just amazing. Topsy-turvy kind of thing. When I can do it, the spiritual approach has always worked. Mm-hmm. You know, if some of the other things that we try, or even some of the actions that I've been led to do, after I get to my peaceful place and I decide what is mine to do and I do that, that feels good, but it is in being in that peaceful place that is what feels the best. I know that these unity spiritual practices and principles is the way to be peaceful, to stay peaceful. So I found a couple more tools that I'd like to share with you. Forgiveness, and then what I'm calling a forgiveness booster blessing. Why would we need or want to forgive? That was such a cool song, and it ties in so beautifully with all of this. When we are feeling resentful, when we're feeling angry, when we're feeling any of these negative emotions that might come along with the confusion, the changes, all of that, when we hold on to that, that can keep us from getting to that place of alignment, that place of connection where we can experience, we can feel God. Jim Rosenberg wrote a book called A Closer Walk with God. Anybody familiar with it? Yes, I see nodding. Yes. It's actually, I still tend to think of the 90s as fairly recent, but it's really not. That's like 30 years ago. Okay, yeah. So he wrote it, I think, in 97 or something like that. But it's a really powerful book. You know how sometimes a book, usually it's a book, just sort of is attracting, you know? So I picked it up and I sort of skimmed through the table of contents, and the chapter on forgiveness jumped out at me. And At first, my ego would have said, I'm not holding a grudge. I don't need to be forgiven. I'm fine. And it wasn't long before that same ego presented a picture of someone that actually I do kind of have resentment. Oh, okay. So, as I was going through this chapter on forgiveness in his book, one of the things that he says is that prayer and forgiveness are often linked in the New Testament. When Jesus is talking about forgiveness, he's talking about, first he'll talk about forgiveness. It's sort of a inferring, in my opinion, that forgiveness is necessary for prayer to be effective. And I do believe that. So when you think about Jesus' teachings, there are passages. One of them has to do, I'm really paraphrasing, and this is from memory, but Jesus had advised, if you're concerned about a speck in your neighbor's eye, first go home and take the log out of your own eye first. So it's forgive. Another one is, forgiven you will be forgiven. There's a lot of that sort of thing. So do we need to forgive anybody?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see some nods. Yeah, really, probably. You know, I read, and they said in school, that Charles Fillmore used to spend a couple hours every evening before he went to bed doing forgiveness work. And that can really help to try to bring up all of the things that happen to one in the day. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's a snarky voice in my head, and something will happen. And then I don't think much about it. But if I sat every evening, that might come to mind, and I might be able to forgive myself for not being the person I want to be and the way I want to show up. The real litmus test, I think, of do we need to forgive someone, ourselves or someone else, is, are we able to experience God? If we go into prayer and meditation, can you feel it? Can you experience that time of silence, that alignment? If not, perhaps it's because you're blocked. Rosemary says, our enmity toward even one human being is a barrier between us and God. He also, I have another quote. He wrote this, and I really liked it. So he also said, our resentment and anger hide from us the presence in which we live and move and have our being. So I think of kind of like a veil or a barrier, a block of some kind that does stand in the way of me being with the Spirit. And then I had, how can we tell if we're harboring something? Notice any negative emotion that comes up when you bring someone to mind. It's probably a need for forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's for us. Forgiveness, as he said, surrender, letting go of that. It's kind of like there are bindings, that those negative emotions that we're holding on to are kind of like chains or bindings that keep us attached to whatever it is that we're resentful of or angry about. So we can free ourselves, and we can get rid of that log that Jesus talked about. Something to remember that I've learned from life experience, forgiveness is a process and not an event. So if I think that some people it can be pretty quick if it's not, you know, a huge one, but when it's a big one, and we know who those people are that have greatly hurt us, you know, that might be a big, big forgiveness to do. It can take a long time. There was one probably the hardest one I ever had to do in my life, and this was years back, but it took months and months of steady, constant work, forgiveness work with this person. And I finally, again, that litmus test, how do we know when it's finished, when I'm done? It's when I can talk about it without the emotion coming up. It's not forgetting, but it's taking away all the charge. It is removing that judgment, that righteousness, or whatever it is that's in there. It's removing all of that. So then what happened, you can think about it, you can even talk about it without it invoking once again all of those outrageous feelings that we had. Jesus had some powerful things that he said. One of the most powerful happened when he was being crucified. And I thought it was interesting that this is Lent, and here we're in this process of being willing to let go of something, or several things. So maybe it's not surprising that this came to mind for me. But of all the things that he said, when he was on the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It still moves me to this day. Because not only did he forgive them, these people are killing him, literally killing him. He forgives them, and then he asks God, forgive them. I call that like a blessing. That's really powerful. Okay, so we may be convinced that forgiveness is something we'd like to do. Rosemary said there are two things that we need to do to practice forgiveness. And the first one is, there needs to be a willingness to release the past hurts. Don't we hold on to some of these hurts pretty strongly? But do you know what he said? Oh, I could never forgive. You know, I mean, we justify when we do all that with our human self. What we're asking here is beyond the human. It is the spiritual part of us that we're invoking here, a willingness to release the past hurts. It can be hard. It can feel like we're excusing the person who hurt us, or somehow making it okay that they did that. Or maybe somehow they'll be sorry as long as we're still angry, still ignoring them. Or, you know, I mean, we all have our ways of showing that we're unhappy. But we need to let it go. We need to surrender. We need to forgive. Keep on working on the willingness. And then secondly, I thought this was interesting. I hadn't seen this in any other place, but he said, secondly, we need to allow the negative emotions to flow. So once we identify that we're feeling these experiences, let them come. Experience them. He said, because behind them is peace. So this junk that's there, the hurt and negativity, all of that, as it comes up and you let it out, talk about it, whatever you need to cry, you know, cuss, whatever you have to do. And underneath that is the truth of who and what we are, the peace and the joy and the love. So what he says is, by being in the present, we are being totally alive and, in my words, authentic. So it's like it doesn't work to stuff that stuff or try to tamp it down. And if we're expressing, we just want to express. We don't want to live in that. I mean, I can think of people who have told me how angry and upset they are about something that happened 30 years ago. You know, they're still holding on to it. Feel it, release it. The energy will disperse, and then underneath that, behind that, is the truth of who we are. We release and we let them go. So forgiveness will take us a long way in reaching that peaceful place. You know, we've talked in prior talks about what is there to do is notice the emotion, do what you have to do to get back to that peaceful place, and then in that peaceful place, align, do what is yours to do. This, in my opinion, is, if we're regularly practicing forgiveness, this is a more proactive approach to living in today's world. So before we're reactive, this is just a step up to make it more proactive. So forgiveness will take us a long way. And there's one more tool that he talked about that can boost our forgiveness, and that is to bless the person you're forgiving. Response is there. Sometimes people go, what? I don't think so. I can't, you know, just, and if you can't at first, you can ask God to forgive the people. And then keep on working on it and releasing. But it is a powerful thing. There is a writing that I found out about on the minister's resource page on Facebook, and this is actually an article that Lowell Fillmore wrote. And he had a column called Things to Be Remembered. And if anybody has looked at Unity Archives or these are little nuggets of just pure wisdom. He was quite a gifted writer, in my opinion. And this one is Things to Be Remembered. This was from May 30th, 1936. So if you think just for a moment about what was going on in the world in May of 1936. The world was preparing for World War II. Germany had been expanding, and this article is while he doesn't ever mention Hitler's name, it was written in response to Hitler and what Hitler was doing. Some of what he writes here, I think is just so profound, so different than the way we normally think about and act and treat our behaviors, I mean, what we do. He says, I'm just going to pick up like several sentences that are just powerful. He starts off saying, remember that even the blackest darkness cannot stop a lamp that chooses to shine its rays of light into that darkness. Starts off with, when dreadful, this is all about Hitler and what Hitler is doing. I'm not really trying to lay this on top of things that are going on, but that was a very worrisome time for the world and for our country. We hadn't joined in yet, but that was soon to come. So he's writing about things that are going on. He says, when dreadful stories are brought to us by press and radio, we are filled with indignation and we feel that something must be done to remedy such evils. Press and radio, and now today we have even more. We've got social media, we've got, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's pounding us, you know, with changes, all these things that are changing. Our natural reaction, in his case here, is that physical force must be used to correct these deplorable conditions. I will say that today, we are so very polarized as a country, so very polarized. And it really doesn't matter which side you're talking to, the other side is the demon, you know. It's just kind of the way it is. So something must be done, you know. He said, often the best way to accomplish a reform is to find an entirely new way to tackle the fearsome evil. He says, there's another way, a way that is not very popular or very well understood. Yet it can be followed by everyone without fear of personal harm. It is a marvelous method by which one can annihilate even evil without hurting anyone. This is the simple method. Bless the person who seems to be the culprit. Sincerely ask God's blessing on him. I know this is contrary to popular feeling. And it is. It's really hard to think about blessing someone you, Hitler. Have you ever tried to bless Hitler? I mean, seriously, I have. And it's hard, it's really hard. He said, it goes on later on in the article, he said, but whether he, this culprit, is right or wrong, our silent blessing will help him and strengthen him in doing the right thing. If he happens to be doing diabolical things, as reported, and we ask God to bless him and to give him more power, will he be aided by our prayer to do these awful things more easily? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God's blessing can only help him to do good. And then toward the end of this, the last paragraph, he says, the law is bless good and it increases. Bless what appears to be evil and the hidden good in it will be encouraged to assert itself. Curse good and your curses will return to you to torment you. Curse evil and the evil grows. You know the law. Are you willing to use it? Are you willing wholeheartedly to bless your enemies and bless those who are reported to be doing evil? Kill evil by blessing the evildoer, and you will be making good use of your time and energy. Pretty interesting, pretty radical in my opinion. And remembering again, this is a world situation in Hitler. I'm not talking about anybody today. But haven't we all felt some of those things? I know people who have terminated friendships, relationships, because of the polarization that's happened. You know, I can't do this, you know that. Forgiveness and blessing. Bless the person. I know this works. Short story. Many, many years ago when I worked at the phone company, my friend Donna, you probably, many of you have heard me talk about my friend Donna. Mm-hmm. We met in the 70s, which is starting to be old, you know, it's before the 90s. We've been friends a long time. She had an office on the same floor I was in, and I had a cubby. She was one degree higher in rank than I was. Anyway, I would go by. We had started we had been to Unity Village together to see Art Caesar. Saw it in 1995. Anyway, we'd started it. And so I'd come by and we'd just sit and chat for 15 minutes-ish, you know. Well, her supervisor was kind of a hands-on guy and he didn't like that. Now, to be fair, I probably should not have been doing all that. But we were both salaried people and we were there as long as we needed to be. We had time, we started and generally we ended. But if the work wasn't done, you stay until it's done. So usually salaried people have a little bit more leeway with their time schedules. But this guy was being pretty obnoxious with this thing. So first, I was angry, and she suggested that she had done something like this blessing thing before, and I was a little skeptical, but I thought, I'll try it. So in my meditations, prayer time and meditation, I would do a visualization. I would have this guy come in and sit across from me, and I would talk to him, and I would bless him, and tell him I knew that he had the highest and best intended for the phone company and so forth, and didn't do anything different on the outside. And what I noticed was I was beginning to not feel quite so toward him. And did you see the sneer? That's also another way you can see if you've got someone to forgive. When you say their name, you don't, you know, do that. So I started feeling better. And then, like about 2, maybe 3 months later, it didn't take a long time from this perspective, it seemed like forever then, he got moved to a different job in a different building. So it works, you know. It just, we weren't praying or asking in any way for the man to leave or to anything, just letting him know that he was loved and we were blessing him individually. She was doing the same thing. And the universe responded by moving him to a different place. It works. It really works. We are living in very tumultuous times. So we need, in my opinion, we need a way that we can be more grounded, more peaceful, happier. And we can be happier and more peaceful and more loving by using our tools. When we notice or realize that we're upset, stressed, whatever, we can do the reactive things that we do. And if we can practice this forgiveness work, we can kind of have a leg up on not getting as upset as we might have in the before. Mm-hmm. So our tools are: notice that we are having negative feelings, finding peace within, and under those or within that is that forgiveness process we just talked about, and the blessing. The blessing is like that boosted power of forgiveness. It's that on steroids. So when we can do that, we get to that peaceful place, and it is in that peaceful place that we can from that Christ self look at the situation, look at where we are, look at what's important to us, decide what we might want to do. Maybe it's just something within the house. Maybe it's writing letters. It doesn't matter what it is. You'll know. You'll know what is yours to do. But find out in prayer and meditation when you have aligned with God. When we do this, when we are aligned with Spirit, and we have and we can use that divine power within. And we can be that light in the world that Jesus talked about. Simple, maybe not easy, but it can be done. I'm proof of that. And I think it's a worthwhile effort. It makes me feel a whole lot better to be working in that way than telling anybody and everybody that I can reach. That doesn't do any good. So let's take a moment to practice this alignment. As we do that, let's use Jesus' words, the Lord's Prayer, to take us into that place of connection, that place of oneness. So together,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
If you're comfortable doing so, let your eyes remain closed. And perhaps do a mental scan of your body, looking for any place that may be holding tension, might be tight. These are stressful places, or places where stress resides within us. So do just sort of a scan. And when you find a place that is tight, move your energy and your intention to that place and consciously relax. Relax there. All of the usual suspects, we, you know, our jaws clench, our shoulders right up. We can consciously unclench our jaws, drop our shoulders, and relax. Let your seat fully support you. I think sometimes it's impossible to quiet our minds as easily as we can quiet our bodies, but we can take the attention away from all of the chatter that often happens in our minds just by allowing our minds to perhaps follow the breath. Notice the breath as it comes in and as it goes out. And it helps me sometimes to adopt a listening attitude. It's not really my ears that are listening, but it is with that attention within that I'm waiting, I'm being receptive, I'm being open. So we do that today. We come here, we are in the midst of like-minded individuals. We come here to be more spiritual, to better practice these teachings that Jesus, our way shower, told us about. We sit here among friends and family. We are safe. And we can be in the present moment. We do consciously release everything that happened before we got here and release all that will happen afterwards. And just be in this present moment. Relaxed, receptive, waiting. When we do so, very often we can experience the presence. For me, often it's like, I call it a heart swell. There's just a sense of well-being that comes up for me. I am peace. Not just peaceful, but I am peace. Each of us can say that for ourselves, because we each are the truth of who and what we have come here to be. Who we are is peace. Who we are is joy. Who we are is love. And as we allow ourselves to be aligned like this, that truth of who and what we are becomes stronger. And the more we practice this alignment, the more likely we are that we are shining our lights into the world. And today we sit in silence, trusting, being peace and joy and love. And in this moment, all is well. Every moment that we can be in alignment with and as spirit, all is well. So just for a few moments, allow yourself to be silent, to be receptive, to be aligned in the silence. these times can provide nourishment, rejuvenation. Our energy often goes up, not in a frantic pace, but just hopeful, optimistic, creative, some of the attributes we heard earlier today. We will feel them, we'll experience them, we will be them. We each come here as unique creations of the Most High. We come here with unique skills and talents and values and personalities. We bring so much to the table. Those things that are eternal is the truth of who and what we are, and then our personality brings it in a package. We can use the package to deliver the true, authentic selves that we are. And so this morning, maybe we'll make a commitment to make this time of connection, to be in alignment with Spirit. And if we don't feel it, then why? And look and see if there's something that you can do to be clearer so that you can experience that oneness. And then you will be guided to do what is yours to do, be what is yours to be. Sometimes all that has to happen is be the model for love and peace and joy. And we can let our lights shine. We are so very grateful for so much. We're grateful for this community. We're grateful for the awareness and the knowledge of the truth of our beings. We're grateful that we have opportunities to forgive again and again and again. Forgive ourselves, forgive others. There is the expression, to err is human, to forgive divine. And we are fully human and we are fully divine. When we catch ourselves doing something that we're not proud of, maybe even embarrassed about, we can forgive ourselves and move on to be all that we have come here to be. So, in deep gratitude and in much love, peace, and joy, we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.